Kia ora, welcome to Edmund's Podcast, episode 299. Today is Wednesday, May 29, 2013. I was going to say that I should start welcoming you to the Amron's monthly podcast, since that's the way it seems to be going. And as often happens, I have to restart the recording several times because I make a mistake or don't get something quite right or what have you. And then I realized that up until this particular version, I kept saying it was 2012. That's probably because I don't podcast enough. Right now, this is what we get. So, yes. Well, today I'm going to go over things that have been sort of lurking around over the past several weeks because I have not gotten to them. Because the previous episode was just about marriage equality, I didn't have a chance to go over the many comments I got about my Pride 48 comments. And so I'm going to go over all that stuff in the later part of this episode. But first, I am going to talk a bit about marriage equality, partly because it's freshest. And to do that, I'm going to go all the way back to 297, the episode where I talked about Pride 48, because there was a comment from Roger Green that I thought was quite interesting. Now, to refresh your memory, I said in that episode that one of the things I thought was dumbest for the right wing is to say that gay people aren't discriminated against in marriage because they can always marry somebody of the opposite gender. And I just thought that was condescendingly stupid and all those sorts of things. But Roger brings up an interesting point. He said, "The one thing I'm not sure I agree with you, Arthur, is your disregard for a specific argument by those who oppose marriage equality. They say it's because men and women can still get married, albeit to people of the opposite sex. I do believe that they really mean it. The argument is almost exactly the parallel narrative in the lower court rulings prior to Loving v. Virginia, 1967, as I cited here. The Lovings lost at every court, with the primary reasoning being that because it's miscegenation, that's hard for me to say, miscegenation statutes punish equally both the white and Negro participants in an interracial marriage, these statutes, despite their reliance on racial classifications, do not constitute an invidious discrimination based upon race." And he provides a link to when he talked about that. And that's a very interesting point. I certainly never thought of it that way, but I think you actually may be onto something there. Because the right wing tends to recycle its arguments over and over and over again. And in the latest two political podcasts, Jason and I, the one that isn't posted as I'm recording this, there's Sonny. I mentioned that when the Reagan Revolution happened, all of these people from the new right, as they called it then, would be on television. And if somebody was criticizing them, they would say it was Christian bashing to shut down the debate. And they're doing that again now. They're saying that they're oppressed and all those sorts of things. So the right wing endlessly recycles its arguments and its rhetorical flourishes. And so it wouldn't surprise me if Roger's absolutely right and that actually is what's going on. It's still stupid, but I think Roger has provided a very interesting historical context for what they're doing. So thanks for that, Roger. Although, having said that, I think a lot of the younger ones are probably not that up with history, and they just, some of them just do think that it's a snarky and bitchy thing to say, and they quite like that. But now I'm going on to episode 298, the previous episode to this one, where I talked about marriage equality. And I have a comment from Tim Carmel that touches on some things that David Byrd said in his That Blue Jeans Guy podcast. He says, "Congratulations on marriage equality being passed in New Zealand. I was thrilled when I heard the news. A friend of mine sent me the video of Morris Williamson's speech on the floor of Parliament, and I was cheering along. I didn't realize he's in the National Party until I listened, and I'm glad you shared that with us. Cheers, and here's hoping everything works out for you and Nigel to tie the knot fully. It would be interesting in a future show for you to talk about what differences legally there are in New Zealand if you stay domestic partners versus getting married under the new marriage equality law. Thank you for that, Tim." Oh, and Roger, thank you for your comment, too. I forgot to thank you directly. The way that this touches on what David said in his podcast is the primary difference between marriage and civil unions, which is what we have now, well, Nigel and I personally, but also what exists for same-gender couples up until August 17th or whatever it is, when marriage equality arrives, is that under New Zealand law, under the Adoption Act, the Care Children Act, I've forgotten what it's under, I think it's the Adoption Act, A gay or lesbian single person can adopt a child, but the only couples that are allowed to adopt a child are a married couple. And up until August of this year, the only people who are legally able to marry are heterosexuals, a man and a woman. So the main difference between marriage and civil unions is that only marriage allows a couple to adopt a child. Now, in our case, because David was wondering about that, in our case, that's irrelevant because I'm too old to adopt. There's an age cutoff. Now, there's a little bit of wiggle room there because if you adopt an older child, you're allowed a little more leeway, but there still is an absolute cutoff after which you cannot adopt. And I believe I'm already past that, I think, because I think it's 45 or 50 or something like that. But in any case, that ship is well and truly sailed. We did seriously think about it several years ago, but it was before our civil union. And at that time, we still, as I said, we couldn't have adopted together. But because we weren't legally joined at that time, one of us could have adopted singly, even though we lived together. It's just a loophole in the law. Or we could have gone for guardianship as a couple, because that is permitted. But, of course, it's not a formal or permanent adoption. It's just a legal arrangement where you are the child's or the young person's guardian, and you look after them and provide the necessaries of life and all that sort of stuff. But you're not the legal parent. You're just the person charged with looking after the child. So, but in the end, we just decided that we were already at that point even too far along the track, and it wasn't going to work out because the work of the child rearing would have fallen on me, since I work from home and only part time at that, and it just wouldn't have worked for us. And so in the end, we just decided it was best if we didn't do it. And we haven't, obviously. But that's the chief difference between civil unions and marriage. Now, in New Zealand, we have basically three types of legally recognized relationships. One we call de facto, which in some jurisdictions might be called a common law marriage. And it's where any couple that lives together for 3 years or more is automatically covered by this thing called the Relationships Property Act. And if they split up, basically everything gets divided 50-50. And the act was brought in because there was a long history of couples coming together and living together, and then the man takes off and leaves the woman, often with children. They have no legal ties to each other, and she was left stuck. And we know of somebody that actually happened to, not directly, it's through somebody else. And so that's what the law was originally designed to get around, but it also provided a non-marriage legal status for couples, including same-gender couples. They were included in that law. And so it was an alternative to marriage before civil unions. Then civil unions came along, and they were open to heterosexuals and same-sex couples. And they provided a much more formal recognition, conferring sort of next of kin status and things like that. People in a civil union are entitled to be buried in the same grave together. Nice, eh? Because before that, only married couples could be. And in most other ways, it's indistinguishable from marriage. That's the primary one. And you could argue that another one, equally as big in some ways, is that under the old law, only heterosexuals, or a man and a woman, could marry, whereas two men or two women cannot marry, and that was unjust. Now, that's a whole other argument, and I don't really want to get into that now, but those are the main differences. I actually have a copy of the Marriage Act 1955, which I always meant to read through to see what other differences there were, and I actually never got around to it. But the adoption one is the biggest, and that's now changed, obviously. And, of course, single people can still adopt if they want, and nobody has to get married. Anybody can get a civil union or married or just be de facto or whatever. The point is that now everybody is equal under the law for relationship recognition. And that was the point of this whole argument. That's the whole point of it all along. So that's really good. And civil unions are staying. They're not going away. They will be an alternative for people who don't want to have a marriage, either because of its association, I guess, with religion, even though New Zealand is a very secular country. For some people, it has religious connotations and they don't want to have anything to do with it. So, that's fair enough. And so some people would prefer to have a civil union. And as I've said before, in our case, there are issues that are beyond just, whether we should marry or what have you, or if it's any different from civil unions, blah, 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 blah. It's got to do with the fact that I'm a U.S. citizen as well as a New Zealand citizen, and I don't want to do anything to ensnare Nigel into U.S. laws that he has no say in as a non-citizen, non-resident. So I don't know. And unless the Defense of Marriage Act, if the Defense of Marriage Act is struck down, that could change things again. So I don't know. It's a very complicated thing. And someday in the future, once I know more myself, I hope to do an episode about that specifically, and about how marriage equality affects expats such as myself, because that could be interesting to other people. But so I hope, Tim, that answers your question, basically, that the fundamental difference is about adoption and the fact that same-gender couples were excluded up until now, whereas opposite-gender couples could have a civil union or marriage or convert one to the other if they so chose, whereas same-gender couples could not before. And to David, no, we are not going to adopt children, although after the marriage equality bill goes through, a same-gender married couple will be able to. So there you go. Now, I also received an email that's kind of related to that as well, and that is from the Emirates U.S. Correspondent Bank. And she started out, "I hope your house buying adventures are going well." And of course, they are on indefinite hold, although it's still sort of in the back of our mind that it's a possibility in the future, so we don't want to commit to making permanent changes to the house that could affect its saleability. Now, I honestly can't remember where I left off because I forgot to listen to two episodes ago, but if I'm repeating myself, do forgive me, but we had the plaster cracks in the house repaired, several weeks ago now, months probably, and I couldn't get to doing the painting of it. It had this special sealer on it called Limestop to keep the lime in the plaster from getting it through, and then had to be primed and painted. And I just couldn't get to it, and then I got gout in my hands, and I couldn't paint, and then the weather wasn't good, and the weather finally stabilized enough that I got it done. And it looks good. You can't even tell that it was ever repaired. But we still have problems with water getting in the front of the garage. And just today, yesterday, we've had really terrible storms. Yesterday was hailing off and on all day long. Actually, aside, yesterday was the first time I've ever driven in hail in New Zealand. It's not a common thing in winter, although winter doesn't start until Saturday, the 1st of June, technically. But I've just never driven in hail, probably because it is relatively rare. And so that was kind of a freaky thing. I've traveled all these thousands of kilometers to get away from that kind of weather. Here I am driving in hail. But anyway, I think that the major source of the water is probably coming from the door, because there's no insulation or rubber, I don't even know what you call that, but in an American garage, the door itself, the opening around the door is insulated so that you can't have wind getting in or snow blowing in, but that's just not done here. And so I think that actually is probably how the water is getting in. But I'm going to look into that in the future. Anyway, that's a huge digression. But I suppose that answers Bank's question about the house buying. But she goes on, "Thanks for the great podcast on marriage equality arriving in New Zealand. I've been interested to note how many people here in the U.S. have talked about the law, often with, as you've noted, not much understanding of New Zealand politics or how this fits in. I think Americans also just like seeing a parliament in session. It's so much livelier than Congress. It's exciting to see marriage equality developments here too, and it's being spoken of as inevitable and bound to happen soon. I think it will happen, but there will be more twists and turns in the path than the most hopeful are allowing for. Thank you for that, Bank." And yes, one of the reasons why on my blog and in the podcast I try to stress about the realities of the way that happened is I didn't want people to get the wrong idea of how Parliament works. And in talking about lively, a Westminster style parliament, whether it's Canada or New Zealand or the UK or whatever, during what they, well, we call it question time. It might be called different things in different parliaments. It's where the government of the day is held to account by the opposition. They ask them pointed questions and they try to score points against each other. That is extremely lively. And there's often a lot of shouting back and forth and snarky remarks and things. And the speaker will often have to go, "Order!" It gets really out of hand. But it's much livelier than anything you see in the U.S. House of Representatives. I mean, that's dead boring by comparison. But yes, it is quite different. And it is going to be a twisted path in the U.S. We're running out of states that can enact marriage equality. There are very few left. Illinois is one of them, and it's due to be acted on before the end of this week. And hopefully that will go the correct way. I don't know. We'll see. But the main thing that is going to be holding it up are all these states that passed constitutional amendments defining marriage as being one man and one woman. Those are going to have to be gotten rid of first before they can change anything. In some cases, that's relatively easy. The state legislature just has to do it. In other cases, it's got to go back to the to the people through a referendum. And in the state of Nevada, for instance, they've just the state legislature has just passed a repeal of its constitutional amendment. They have to pass it again in 2015. And if they pass it a second time, then it goes to a referendum. So it's a long process for them, and it is in some other states as well. If the Illinois legislature does pass marriage equality, then that's the end of it, because Illinois doesn't have a referendum system that allows citizens to repeal laws. They do have what they call an advisory referendum, which means they can say, "Well, we don't like this thing," but the legislature can and usually does ignore it. So that'll be the end of it in Illinois. And in other states have other issues going on, of course, as well. So I don't know. But it will be a long process. And a lot is riding on what the Supreme Court decides in the Prop 8 case and the DOMA case. And we're just going to have to wait and see what happens. Now, in the news, today's the 60th anniversary of Sir Edmund Hillary reaching the top of Mount Everest. And so that's a significant event in this part of the world, a significant date in this part of the world. And it's a shame that Sir Ed didn't live to see it, but hey, we can still remember. And now I'm going to switch gears and start talking about the Pride 48 stuff. And I have a lot of responses that came in, some audio responses and some emails and stuff. And the first thing I'm going to do is go over the audio messages first. And the first of those is in the form of an audio boo. An audio boo is, of course, well, that's actually one of the ways you can send a message to me. But it's just a short audio recording, and they are often released publicly, as this one was. And so we'll do the first one, and it's from Scott, the Sater 69 from the Sater Sphere podcast.
Audio boo, audio boo, gimme an audio boo. Hey there, it's Scott, the Sater. You remember me? I don't know why, because I haven't booed in forever. But this is a boo for Arthur, host of the Amarins podcast. I just got done listening to your latest show. And I'm very sad by your news. I am. I'll say it. And I couldn't disagree more with you. But it's your choice. And I'm going to respect you for your choice. Although I don't agree with your choice. But, you know, that's what friends do. We agree to disagree sometimes. One of the reasons I love you, Arthur, is that you are such a different voice in the Pride 48 community. You're an intelligent voice. You're a smart voice. You're a funny voice. And no, you're not entertainment-based, but damn, I just love your show. And I love your viewpoints. And I love your intelligence. And I'm sorry to hear that you don't feel connected, because you feel very connected to me. I don't know what to say. Which is funny, because you didn't know what to say yourself, and I'm kind of echoing that, other than the fact that I'm not happy. I'm not happy. But my happiness shouldn't interfere with your happiness. I just want you to know that I'm still going to listen to your damn show, so suffer through that. You know, I feel guilty that you lost your phone number, that I didn't call enough to keep it alive, because I try to call. You know me. I called often just to keep it alive, and I feel guilty that I let it die on you. I really do. I know that sounds silly, but it's true. But, so, you know, you'll always have a friend in the Satyrsphere. Your flights are always free, you know? Just let me know. Free ticket to get on the plane. And I think that's going to be about it for me. But you will be missed, my friend. You really will. And I was really looking forward to meeting you. I was really hoping you were going to be in Vegas this year so I could finally meet you. Because you're just, you're cool. In your own way, you're cool. Okay, that's it. This isn't like to be a guilt trip or a pity party. It's just me talking. Okay. So, by the way, the rest of the people who are listening to this, go listen to the Amerinds podcast, A-M-E-R-I-N-Z, Amerinds. You can find it on iTunes. I've podcasted and pimped out. I've pimped it out. I don't know what I'm saying. I've pimped out his podcast before on the Satyrsphere because I like it that much. So, Arthur, represent, brother. All right. I don't know what that means. All right. This is a Satyr. Catch you later. Gimme, gimme, gimme an audio. Whoop, boo.
Well, thanks for that, Scott. And for those who don't listen to audio boos, that's kind of typical of what people do with them. They're just basically very short little podcasts. And anyway, Scott touches on some things that several people said, either in some things you're going to hear or in more private communication. And among those is talking about being in Vegas. And I want to reiterate something I don't think I made clear enough when I was talking about that. The fact that we're not going to the Pride 48 event in Las Vegas has nothing to do with anything that I said about the about not feeling connected to it and all of that. The reason that we're not going to the event in Las Vegas is because they moved the event up a week, and I can't possibly get out of work in order to go at that time. It's just it can't happen. And so that's the reason we're not going. It has nothing to do with any of the other things. And it's theoretically possible that we might go to the U.S. at some point this year, later this year, maybe even in September, later on in September, or maybe not. We've always talked about going to the U.S. for Christmas. So who knows? We might do that. If not this year, then maybe next year. But the point is that we still do plan on going to the U.S., and we're going to try to structure it in a way that will maybe have a chance to get together with folks along the way. And I'll certainly obviously talk about that well and truly in advance if that does end up happening. But my point I probably shouldn't have talked about that in the same context as talking about Pride 48, generally my feelings about it. But just to reiterate, the reason we're not going is because I can't get out of work to go. It has nothing to do with anything other than that. That's the only reason that we're not going to be participating. However, the reason I'm not participating in the June event is directly related to that, because I'm participating as a podcaster, because this podcast doesn't fit in well with the other podcasts that are on there. And I'll be coming back to that subject again in relation to some of this other feedback. And it doesn't work for me. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm not going to be participating at all. I expect to be listening and showing up in the chat room and stuff like that. And, theoretically, if somebody wants me to join them on their show, I could do that. But I'm not going to do one of my own. That's the only thing that's certain. And I think it's unlikely that I'll be participating in anybody else's show, because I haven't done that for... Oh. Yeah, that long, Sonny. For a very long time. And it's pretty rare that I do. So I don't think that's terribly likely to happen either. But if you do take part in the June event, I'll almost certainly be in the chat room for some of the shows anyway. And probably as well in the September event, because since I can't be there. So thank you again, Scott. And now we're going to move on to the next message, which is also an audio boo, and it is from Brother Sinaitis.
This is Brother Sinaitis, and I have some public remarks I would like to present to Arthur, the host of the Amerinds podcast. Arthur, I totally understand where you're coming from at the end of your last show. Pride 48 has changed a lot in the 4 years that it has been around. In the early days, a lot of the shows, about a third of the shows, were personal journals, which were basically a person with a microphone talking to us. And Pride 48 at that time gave us a wonderful platform to interact with you. But lately, a lot of the new shows are more group endeavors. They're still personal journals, but they have far more humor and snarky repartee as a part of them. But I must say, we still need the single-person personal journal. A lot of them have, including yours in particular, has a unique voice that we need to hear. With your life history, you have a unique perspective on life that lets you comment on things that we don't always see. So I think we still need you part of the group. I must say that I can see where it would be hard to come up with a Pride 48 show, to be able to go from a show that is a half hour or so to a full hour could be rather challenging. But I would also like to point out that the Atlanta mob is coming together this coming Pride 48 to have one show among, I think it's 4 or 5 different podcasts. And that might be a way for you to participate in the activity. I'm certain that there are other shows that are in a similar situation as yourself. So I guess that's what I've got to say. I guess I am very sad to hear that you feel that you're not part of Pride 48, but I'm also very happy to hear that you are going to continue on with podcasting, and I'm just going to have to get off my ass and participate with you, either with comments on your website or emails or voicemails, even though your voicemail line is down at the moment. But I still have a microphone and a way to record. So talk to you later, and bye.
Well, thanks for that, Brother Sinaitis. And ironically enough, he was a guest several times on my ill-fated regular live show on Pride 48, which never quite worked. Although I started, towards the end of that, I started to have an idea for how it could work. And then I had other ideas about how I could change it further. And of course, none of that ever happened because I just couldn't commit to doing a regular live show. But I do think the idea of several people grouping together to do a show is a good idea. And I think that anybody who wants to participate in Pride 48, but they don't feel they can or want to do an entire hour all by themselves, should look at grouping together with other people to do it. I think that's a great way of making it happen. But right now, I think I'm going to go on right away to the next one, and it is from Kyle in Hawaii.
Hey, Arthur, it's Kyle in Hawaii. I was just listening to your recent podcast, and I thought I'd call and say I'm so glad to hear your voice again, regardless of the circumstances. Fingers crossed, the life settles down a bit more for you, in spite of everything going on. And do have a good time with your family. I'll be listening, and as far as Pride 48 goes, you're still a part of the community, whether active or inactive. It sounds like you're still listening, which is all I ever get up to. But anyway, as long as I can hear your voice and hear your podcasts, I'm happy. So take care. Much love and hugs to you and the family. Bye-bye.
Thank you for that, Kyle. And speaking of hearing voices, that is a completely different sound for Kyle's voice from what we normally hear on podcasts, because he normally phones in on voicemail lines. And this one he obviously recorded himself, so you get the full timbre of his voice. And I always think it's interesting how different people sound on the phone as opposed to how they sound when they record it in any other way. And or most of us do anyway. Maybe there's some people who sound the same all the time. I don't know. But anyway, Kyle has always been supportive and has been a good friend over the years. And I certainly appreciate him and his kind words as well. And Kyle, you're absolutely right. I'm still part of the Pride 48 community. I'm not going away. I'm just not going to be doing live shows. That's really the only thing that's changed. And I really should be a better listener myself. I don't ring phone listener lines, although in my case, it's an international toll call usually, but although not so much anymore. But there are plenty of ways that I could participate more in podcasts than I do. I tend to listen, and I often listen in a block, to, you know, several one right after the other. And so that means that I can tend not to think to go do, to leave a comment. And I often listen to podcasts when I'm doing stuff around the house. I put in my earbuds and I'm cleaning or whatever. And so I'm not near a computer to go and leave a comment. But I should do that more myself. And that actually reminds me, before I go on to the last voice message, that SpeakPipe has now changed. And unless you pay for the service, you get limited to, I think it's 90 seconds or something per message. On the other hand, they also have an app available for iPhone, iPad. I don't know if it's available for Android. I haven't been able to check it out. But the point of that is that if you do want to leave somebody, anybody, a SpeakPipe message, you can do that using the app and your phone. You don't have to have a special a computer and microphone and all that sort of stuff if you want to do it that way. So that's still an option for anybody who wants to leave an audio message. And they are emailed to me. So I do get them fairly quickly if you do send a SpeakPipe message that way. But unfortunately, they do have to be quite short because I'm not going to pay for it because it's too expensive for what you get. But now let's go on to the final voicemail message. And it is from Ed from the It's All About Me podcast.
Hello, Arthur. This is Ed from the It's All About Me podcast. I just want to say, first off, congratulations on your anniversary. I'm very happy. You are truly one of the podcasters that I listen to on a weekly basis because you are just so informative and smart, and I need that in my life sometimes after having to endure the many crap news programs that are on television these days. So you have been just fantastic with that knowledge that you have in that brain of yours. I'm jealous. Number two is, and I'm very saddened to hear that you're not on Pride 48 anymore. I know it's a personal decision, and I know there's probably no hard feelings, like you said, but it is, it's very sad. My day was kind of shot when I heard your show. But I get it. I understand it. I just wish that, I would have loved to have seen you this year. There was always hope that you would be able to go to Pride 48 this year, but alas, I guess not. But as long as you don't stop recording Amarins or Too Political, especially, which I love with you and Jason, that's all, you know, that's all I can hope for. So I wish you all the best, and just keep podcasting, and I'll keep listening. I've been listening for years, and I adore you, and I love your giggle. Love your giggle. So thank you for everything. Again, happy anniversary, and to many more years and podcasts. Take care. Bye.
Well, thank you, Ed. And I should say that the It's All About Me podcast, the me stands for Mark and Ed, the two husbands in the couple. And I listen to everybody who I've heard today. Kyle, I interact with on Facebook mostly. I forgot to mention that Brother Sinatus does a series of audio booths called Music Memories, which are really entertaining and interesting. So do check that out as well. But the point I want to reiterate, and I'm going to keep reiterating one thing, and that is that I'm not going to Las Vegas because I can't get out of work. It has nothing to do with anything else. I do need to stress that one because I think some people really misunderstood that. Not anybody who left me a message or anything, but from things I was interacting with around the traps. But the thing too is that I have nothing against group shows of any kind, and or even the ones that participate in Pride 48 because I listen to them. But I still do, as Ed was mentioning, I still do Too Political with Jason. As a matter of fact, I just posted actually an old episode, and we've just recorded one just yesterday that I haven't had a chance to edit yet, but it'll be going up as well. We're going to continue doing that, and that's not going to change, and that's a completely different animal, and that's a two-person show, but it's very different. And of course, I used to do the Arthur and Paul Talk with Paul. Oh, it's his birthday, by the way. Happy birthday, Paul. And so I obviously have nothing against group shows. I used to take part in the old group shows for, that used to be. Is that vague enough? And enjoyed that. And I have, if it was the right format and could be arranged, I wouldn't mind doing one in the future. The reason why Arthur and Paul Talk couldn't work out is because our schedules were so different and so hard to mesh up that we just couldn't make it work. Jason and I, because we only record every other week, we have a little bit more flexibility, but even that has sometimes been difficult. So, but thank you everybody for the audio messages, the various ways that you sent them. And now I'm going to switch and talk and read a couple of emails I got. The first is from Big Fatty, who gave me specific permission to read this on the podcast. He said, just heard your latest show, and I get it. I've stepped back from a few things here lately because they just aren't fun anymore. However, I think you will always be part of the Pride 48 family because we are all part of that non-blood family. Remember, we chose you too. Honestly, I listen to you because you aren't like everyone else. You aren't a group. You aren't a Natterfest. You aren't a couple of friends chatting. That's the beauty of Arthur. He brings something different to the table. You know I'm not an outwardly political person, but I truly value your opinion on those issues. After hearing your show, I was pleased that you didn't say that Amarins was disappearing. I'll still be listening, and you'll always be, you're always a part of my chosen family. That's in quote marks. One day I plan to meet you face to face, and I hope I'm not too gassy when I do. Again, I get it, Big Fatty. Thank you very much, Big Fatty. And Big Fatty is one of the kindest, sweetest, and most supportive persons I've met in the podosphere. He's one of the mainstays of the Pride 48 family. And pardon me, it's got something in my throat. One of the strengths of the whole podcasting group. And I can't say enough about him. He's always been a friend for me, or to me, for me, whatever. And I do look forward to meeting him in person one day. Actually, everybody that's participated in this episode, for that matter. And the final email that I'm going to read, I'm not going to say who it's from because I don't have specific permission to mention it on the show. And I'm going to paraphrase parts of it to keep the identity private. But I think there are some important points that were raised, which is why I'm going to go to these kind of extraordinary lengths. The email starts that it's unfortunate that the Pride 48 tent doesn't extend to those trying to do more than just entertain. Many of the shows that are embraced by Pride 48 seem to appeal to the lowest common denominator, which only spawns more of these types of shows. And the person who sent me the email and enjoys these shows, actually, that's not meant to disparage them or to cut them down. The person says that they like to laugh and joke around, but also wants to get below the surface and get a bit real. And this is, I like this line, life is too short to spend it all on fart jokes. And that's basically what I'm going to take out of that, just because I think that's an interesting point, that there is a place for discussing things more in depth that doesn't always happen when the general format is more entertainment oriented. And I may have at some point in the future revisit this whole thing when I've got more time, when I've got more freedom or whatever. I may look at this again, because I completely agree, and I completely agree with everyone else was saying about how we need a variety of voices, and we need serious as well as funny, and we need thoughtful as well as lighthearted, and all that sort of stuff. I agree with everything. And I would like to thank everyone for the kind words about me personally. I certainly wasn't fishing for them. And it makes me feel a little uncomfortable to talk about that. But I do think that there's especially an important place for voices from those of us who are on the older part of the community, as it were, because obviously, not everything's all about youth. And I think we've got a perspective and we have experience to share. Big Fatty and Auntie Vera do that on their shows. And I think that's a really good and valuable thing to do. And I also think that I do have a voice that's different from a lot of the other podcasters. And I think that's true. Whether it's good or not is up to other people to decide, not me. But I value the opportunity that podcasting gives me to share that voice and to share those thoughts and to share the impressions and interpretations and so on with whoever cares to listen. And that's what I'm going to continue to do. But not anymore today because my voice is just about to give out. So that's it for today. Friday, I'm going down to pick up Nigel's mom, bring her back up for the weekend because this is Queen's birthday weekend here in New Zealand. And Monday's a holiday. Nigel's taking Tuesday off as well. But of course, I'm working next week, so I'm not going to get to enjoy all that much of it. But at least the weekend will be fun. But that's it for today, and I will talk to you soon. Thank you, everyone, for your support. Thank you, everyone, who sent me the voice messages and emails about the Pride 48 thing. I do sincerely appreciate it, and I appreciate your support, each and every one of you, and for taking the time to express it to me. I value each and every one of you more than you can know. Thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye. You can comment on this or any episode of the Amrens Podcast at amrenspodcast.com, where you can also leave a voice message. You can send me an audio message through Audioboo or Skype, where my username is Amrens, and you can email me, with or without a voice message, at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at amrenspodcast.com. This podcast is produced and distributed under Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.